plus mesuré. Dr. Barnard, can we go back to slide 57?
Yes, honourable members, thank you very much. The slide is dealing with some of the achievements in those two quarters. Still, I cannot go through the details because honourable members have been this has been said. But on the electrification side, in total, just over 140,000 connections have been made in those two quarters. I will come back to that now. Under the renewable energy IPP program, in that specific period, we found that 24 IPPs have reached their commercial status. It means that they completed, and majority of them have been connected to the grid also in the period. I'm going to jump to just in terms of the petroleum procurement, petroleum regulation and oversight. The fuel sampling has increased in this year, and specifically this specific quarters to 33 units, 30 units that has been tested. But the booking also the visits to retail petroleum sites. It was over 600, which is quite an achievement in terms of making sure that the customers are paying the right tariff, specifically when there's a changeover in tariffs, but also the testing of the quality of the petroleum from these various retail centers. So I think in terms of some challenges in this period, and some of them can also be regarded as general challenges, I think the CFO has indicated in our presentation also in terms of the financials and the underspending, and I think it's important that we just see some of the aspects around it. Firstly, if you just look at the way the IPP has been presented and been as the 14-15 year of financial year, I think we also need to take cognizance of the fact that in that period we also had to redefine our targets, and that caused also for us a change. So in the middle, you had to move from one target set to another target set. So administratively, it was difficult for us to manage moving into a more smart environment. And in that process, you also tend to find that it's easy then to rather concentrate on process than on real output. I think it's one aspect that I want to highlight. It's a challenge that you comply, but it's like, yes, you administratively comply, but what is what happened on the ground? The second one is to do with our HR and the fact that we have very young, it's a very young department, not in age, but also in the staff complement. And that means that we are busy with, and I think we shared it also during the strategic planning planning session in Canada, is that it's very exciting to have your 55% of your staff under 55 years of age, but it also means there's a lack of experience. So strategic involvement in projects is lacking, so much more leadership is required, which if your leadership is also involved in operational matters, then it makes it very challenging. So I think in that process we've not been get enough to the junior staff to make sure and assist them in terms of the delivery of certain of the aspects. And so the oversight and the management of staff is not correctly applied. I think there is also a quite a administrative backlog that we're sitting with. I think CFO has alluded to some of the issues in the procurement process. The procurement process takes much longer than normally. It's always something that happens in between that puts you far back. Linked to that, and members, is also an aspect of the fact that, as you notice, that the majority of our budget is transferred to other entities. So it's oversight of other entities. That makes it very challenging. So to get into the engine rooms of other entities. So you must understand firstly the entities, you must understand the business, and then also to make sure that delivery is taking place. So that is a serious challenge for us. So a lot of the reporting and the commitment is on our side, but other entities have to implement. And in the process also they have to implement measures to make sure that you deliver your deliverables as been set in your targets. That's where you have to withhold funds in some of these infrastructure projects like energy efficiency, your electrification program, your DSM programs. That's the only key, the only muscle you have. I mean, the moment you apply that, you just need to find your transfer of funding. It's a catching situation. But what I can say is that I think if you look to the fourth quarter results, specifically on those called hardware installations, we have improved. I think the sixth one I want to mention is also the difference in financial years between national and municipalities, because the majority of our transfers is going to municipalities, and that also means that you're always out of sync in terms of the financial cycle, the procurement, the ramp up and closing down of projects in terms of for instance the ESCOM projects. So that's also an additional challenge that we are sitting with to manage. Just not only our own financial cycle. And the last one I think that is also of importance is the fact that our focus is also sometimes very easily to be on the soft issues and not on the difficult hardcore issues that you need to apply your minds to. I think those are some of the challenges that we have experienced, some of them very specific to that period, but also can be regarded as general challenges. Thanks.
Okay, so that's a flat 57 is not complete. I wish we had pointed out all the challenges we're talking to in that slide, because as you say, some of the challenges would relate to quarter 2 and 3, but some challenges are more general. It is the more general challenges, the persistent challenges, that we should be focusing our attention on. Those ones. We have the report now. Honourable members, I think we can take questions now. We can take questions on the whole report, all the questions, as honourable members wish.
Was it 94% more or less that you have spent of the allocated budget for the last 9 months? Well done. Well done for spending so much money. The problem is this. Did we get bang for our buck? And the answer must be a resounding no. You know, we have a target that we reached. It was 22%, but we spent 94% of the budget. You know, the potential and the not reached is a fail. It can't be a pass. It can't be. If at school they would tell you you must repeat the year, you know, and we couldn't even reach we couldn't spend more than 22 or 24% reach the targets of 24%. Now, you know. If you were in school and you need to redo the year, can you tell us what you would do different this year around to actually spend 94% of the budget and actually reaching maybe 80% of the targets? I mean, these are targets you set yourself. These are targets in your own strategic plan that are worked into this. You are not even reaching your own targets, not targets other people set for you, your own targets. And that must be an epic fail. You know, if you have precious hindsight, would you do it different, or would we get the same result? And if we get the same result, you know, is it worth spending another 4 billion rand to find out that we get the same result? What will change if you do it different? And do you have hope for this director to actually turn it around, or is it a sinking ship? And if it is a sinking ship, when are you going to sound the alarm? Or are you going to jump off the ship and let us down like the people there at the Costa Concordia? You know, the captain leaves the ship first and then we find out there's a problem. We can't have a situation like that. Then I want to ask you, there were some for clarity and questions that were in this. You talked about on page 12, the submission of cabinet for approval implementation plan for the support of nuclear fuel cycle strategy. Now, if you want to build nuclear reactors and you rightly say that we should become self-sustaining, does this include blending down our EU weapons-grade uranium into nuclear power that we can use to generate electricity in South Africa if we decide to go that route and if that does go ahead? And then, when you don't achieve targets like the awareness campaigns and the community outreach events that you should have, these are also targets you set yourself to inform the public of what is going on with nuclear. I mean, at this time we are embarking on a huge nuclear build program, but we are not informing the people. We're not taking the South Africa with us to explain to them what is happening. Surely that must put up danger lights quite badly. And then the 485 solar water heaters that was a target that we also didn't reach. The department took control of it, and it doesn't look like we're going to reach those targets. Or are you going to tell us today that before the end of the year we would reach the million mark target? I mean, it's quite important for this country to save electricity on the demand side, management of electricity, and therefore we really need these water heaters to go onto the houses. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if we want to save electricity, we take the geysers out of circulation and we will save electricity. It might not be all the electricity that we need, but it will surely go a long way in trying to minimize these load sheddings that we have at the moment. And then the last one is the vacancy rate. I see from the second quarter report to the third quarter report, we actually went down. We actually had a bigger vacancy rate. We achieved our targets the first time, which the target was 15%, which we achieved and beaten it by 9 point something percent. And then on the third quarter, it went up to 10.14%. Now, I believe this is a direct result of the budget cuts that you are feeling. Because when the budgets are cut, the first thing you cut is your employment and your salary bill. That is where you would want to save the most money. If that is right, if I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong. That's the way I understand it. So are you going to reach the targets at the fourth quarter? I mean, you jumped with the budget to the fourth quarter, but you didn't jump with all the targets to the fourth quarter. Is it getting worse or is it getting better, the targets as well? Maybe you can tell us that, because if you have spent the budget already, surely you must know if the targets for the fourth quarter have been reached or not. Thank you.
Thanks, Honor Masa. Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. The Minister, the DG, and the officials of the department. One chair, I just want to know why the unspent funds. The second one, chair,
relates to the sharing of offices with the DMR. Why are you still sharing offices with the DMR since the split of the department? The other ones, I don't know as to what slide is that, but they did mention that a contractor, his work was cut off. What were the reasons why the contractor didn't go on with regard to the implementation of the project? And how much in regard to relations to money, how much was spent for that contractor not to continue with the implementation of the project? The other questions that I wanted to raise is unfortunately that normally when I sit next to the Honorable Van Dalen, he normally copied my questions. But suffice to say, Chair, in my own understanding, Chair, I thought these presentations of today, it was supposed to be presented in the our last strategic planning workshop that was held in Caledon, so that we'll be able to take some of the inputs, some of their proposals to be part of the program that we wanted to come up with in Caledon Hotel in our strategic planning workshop. Because I'm afraid, Chair, if we don't deal with some of the problems, or if the department doesn't want to tell us the real problems that they are faced with, I'm afraid we must sit here until the coming elections and take advantage of the new people who will be in that committee and present the same story to them, because they are new, they might not know what is it that this department was doing for the past 10 years or 15 years. So I suspect it might be the thing that they are reporting to us today, it might be cut and paste, because some of the things which are presented to us today here, some of them, those challenges were presented in our last strategic care workshop. And if you have a problem as department, tell us what is your problems, what are the problems that you are faced with, so that we are able to assist you. We don't have to sit here from time to time, tell us that you have these challenges. And yet you have set up your targets for yourself, that by this time, this issue will be done. So there's nothing that we have done here except some challenges that you are faced with. And you don't tell us what is it that you want us as a committee to assist you, so that you'll be able to achieve what you are supposed to do. Thank you, sir.
Okay, that's not from Bunda. Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Minister, colleagues. Let me first, Chairperson, saying that it may not be persons per se, but I would want to be clarified on those which I'm going to present. Let me firstly appreciate the presentation on the last but one slide 82. I think because, Chair, you will agree with me that if you identify a problem and you do not try to identify the solution to that problem, it becomes a problem. You will sit with that problem forever. There is one short link perhaps in the old presentation. Not achieved. With a verbal explanation in the majority of the targets. But what I don't see is the problem of action. How are you going to address what you say is not achieved, what you didn't achieve at all? I heard about the verbal explanations, but I want to see it in writing. Because right now, I forgot what they said in some other things. But if it is in writing, we are able to refer to that. So I think the slide 82 I'm referring to is the only slide which has the remedial actions, even if those remedial actions did not manage to address, but at least there has been an attempt of trying to address those issues. So I think, Honorable Chair, that is how I understand it to be. It is just like, you know, I was led to understand that fail it's another way of learning on how to do the things the wrong way. Just because you were unable to achieve what you were supposed to achieve, it means you learned the wrong way, to do the things the wrong way. Now you know how to do the things the wrong way. How are you going to do the things the right way? Just to counteract the wrong way. So I think it is very important that we must have an action plan that addresses things which we think should be part of our achievement. Last thing, Chairperson, I think it is always the case that the presentation will be very long, so that by the time the presentation is finished, we are all exhausted. You don't have chance, you know, to comprehend what you were supposed to be asking. So I think sometimes it's very important that the presentations be short, precise, and to the point. Because, Chairperson, it is not in the best interest of some of us here to have a very good presentation, only to find that the actions that are to be taken to address what is so long are nowhere to be found. Only half action, and only to find that we are not moving. And I just want to concur with what you have said. I don't want to take what you are going to say, but at least what you said, to say 50% of what we think we have achieved, how many percentage are qualitative, which you can say, we can hold up to say, public, this is what we have achieved so far in terms of the percentage and the quality of work that we have done. I think that is what is lacking so far. Thanks, Chairperson, for giving me this opportunity.
Thanks, Honorable Kala. I see there are more hands. Honorable Mabunda, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll take more hands. Just to indicate, Honorable Mabunda, this is the point we're making, that you seem to regard to financial performance. So at the end there, this is a summary of what have been the challenges and what the middle issue has been taken. With regard to the rest of the programs, that's not happening. So that slide 57 is not complete. So especially when it comes to major challenges, and when we've said, we've articulated all the major challenges, and then say, what action are we taking to resolve those major challenges? So that is lacking with regard to the rest of the problem. So that has got to be addressed. The second part is that what Honorable Matala was saying, that which is what I said when we started, that I'm happy we're moving in the same direction, Honorable Members, that we will be refusing to proceed with business as usual, just going through piles and piles of paper. And so we want to see what are the strategic targets that have been set, and we can be able to assess what are the strategic outcomes that make an impact in the lives of our people. Otherwise, we can just go through reams and reams of paper. So I think this is what we discussed at our Caledon show. We must return to that just so that we have a different way of ensuring more effective, more strategic oversight. Oh, okay. Plus Honorable Makai and then Honorable Mohamed Shah. Oh, and Honorable Esteza.
Thank you. Chair, I must admit, I expect you to return to your point. At some point, I'd like us to move from discussing these programs, which means I've been for quite a while, to actually moving on to the legislative agenda of the department, which never seems to get much airtime, but we are aware that there's quite a stream of legislation planned for Parliament this year, and I, as one, don't feel that we've been well enough capacitated around the proposed legislation to understand why it's been brought to Parliament, and what is the hope of the department in achieving or having these bills enacted. For example, you know, there's conversation about a strategic fuel fund bill, which is far more is actually covered under the CEF Act or the various other acts that deal with it. So I'm starting to understand why the department is separating out certain pieces of legislation into their own bills, for example, would be of great interest, and I think far more interesting than this quarterly report, which really just shows that the department isn't really performing. If you use their numbers here, we can see that 71% of the budget is spent against achievement of 21% of their targets. I hardly think this is efficiency for the taxpayer, and if I was the taxpayer and if the income made this quite explicit, I think that the taxpayer might decide that the Department of Energy really doesn't maybe need to exist in terms of its actual efficiency and what it achieves for them. I think it just indicates that the department is flailing, it's directionless, and it really isn't the kind of strong response that we need from a department that should be solving an energy crisis in our country. Chair, I was very pleased to hear that there's some modelling happening with Treasury around the Integrated Energy Plan. However, I am confused around what integrated energy plan we are using, considering that we're still basing this work on the IRP of 2010. We're waiting for an update. There is no update. The IRP is one of the sub-plans of the Integrated Energy Plan. The GUM hasn't been finalised. So how exactly are we modelling the IEP with these sub-plans that haven't been finalised? So what assumptions are we using to model? I, for one, would love to see what the modelling around the IEP looks like. I think that should be made public. I think the energy sector needs to know the department's thinking around this. And fundamentally, we also need to understand what assumptions are being used, because fundamentally, this impacts the credibility of any plan that might be presented or produced. Chair, I'd like to ask the Minister, while she's here, if she can maybe just respond to or clarify for us what is happening in terms of the finalisation of the fourth IPP bid window. The extended deadline of the 31st of March is coming gone, and as of the 2nd of April, there is still no determination from the Minister or the Department into the finalisation of that window, which is obviously very concerning since the IPP programme has been very significant in helping us manage our energy issues at this present time. It also impacts for future bid windows, and we're keen to understand what the Minister's plans are around the IPP and also the finalisation of the specific bid window. Yeah, I'd also like to draw attention to the use of the department consultants. If we look at their figures, and we just for the half year figures, which is 16 million rand, if we take that to say double that for the full 12-month period, that gets to 32 million rand, which as far as I can see is about 22% of the total staff budget. again, where it seems to be there's a very strong reliance on staff outside of the department to achieve the objectives of the department, which means the department maybe needs to consider how the employment practices are affecting their functionality. There's 22%, that's also sort of one-fifth of your staff budget is being spent on consultants. It's significant, especially considering what speaks to the lack of skill in the department, and again speaks to the failure of the department to really achieve its programs. Finally, Chair, I'd like to also just speak about the nuclear program. The general impression given in the report back, and I must say we appreciate the frank report back, I think one of the more honest report backs today that we've received, but fundamentally, again, also the energy, the nuclear energy department also just seems to be flailing, not really meeting its targets or its achievements. And I think this is of significant concern considering that this government is considering a major enlargement of the nuclear programs in South Africa. Specifically, Chair, I'd also just like to mention that the IAEA report, which was mentioned by the Speaker, was promised to this committee at the end of the fourth Parliament in terms of nuclear readiness in South Africa. That report has not been made available to this committee, and it was, even though it was promised to before the end of the fourth Parliament, attempts to recover this report in the public domain have not been successful. We have now had to submit a PI application to the Presidency to get this report, and I think that this government has committed to an open and transparent process around nuclear in South Africa, and if this is the very first hurdle, make the report available to us in terms of nuclear readiness availability in South Africa. The report was conducted internationally. The department has seen it. The department is already enacting remedial activities within the country to make sure that those concerns are addressed. So I don't see any danger in making this report publicly available, even available to this committee for discussion, so that the South African people can understand where we are in terms of nuclear readiness for a much expanded program within a country. So I would encourage the Minister to please make this report available to us as soon as possible opportunity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, the presentation by the department is more worrying for me, because it indicates many factors which are not negative, I mean are not positive. So I'm worried. Dr. Bernard, in this program, on program 5, there's a simple target, a very simple one, of public awarenesses, campaigns and community outreach events. You had 5 and only achieved 1. Really now, I think you need to explain. It's a very simple target. If you are unable to deliver on simple things, how are you going to lead our country on issues of substance like nuclear, clean energy and the rest? And this clearly explains to me, Minister Chamat, that you have inherited a department which is so rotten such that you need to clean it. Otherwise we will be dancing in one place without even moving to the other corners of the dancing floor. On the very same issue, you are reporting on Izimbizos, but on these Izimbizos there is no purpose or a objective aligned, you know, so that we have a clear understanding of what is it that you want to achieve. You also want to have public awareness to demystify nuclear, but equally, you can't deliver on the very same thing. 5 public awarenesses. I find it so contradictory. I find it so contradictory. If you can't be able to deliver awarenesses and community outreach programs, how are you going to run awareness on demystifying nuclear? Because clearly that capacity you don't have. Number two, on this program and the targets which you have presented, they have failed, majority of them. You have not achieved anything. And I think the reason why you have not achieved anything, there are no time frames on this. It's just targets, quarterly targets, blah, blah, blah. Time frames, they are missing. Then you will continue as a phase to deliver on the programs which you set for yourselves. Policy and planning and what have you, with finances, very bad, careful. Largely, you have spent on administration very largely. 1.8 million you spend on administration. 48.3 million under electrification in projects. Spend that. 39.6 million under petroleum and what have you. You have spent, but the majority of your expenditure is on administration. Now I'm sitting here asking myself, what administration? And you keep on reporting that you have spent a lot on compensation of employees. What compensation of employees? I need to be clarified so that I'm empowered myself when I go out there and to respond to some of these issues. Now, what is so surprising about the whole thing of expenditure is that we have spent on administration, but underspent on key elements that this department is supposed to be looking at. We have underspent on energy policy and planning. You have underspent on petroleum and petroleum products regulation. You have underspent on electrification and energy programs and project management itself. You have underspent. Nuclear energy, understand. Clean energy, understand. But too much spending on compensation of employees. This is my tax as well. I pay tax on Arakumaki. It's my tax. I really need to understand. Lower spending on clean energy. Due to transfer for energy efficiency and demand side management. I really need to be clarified because our research tells us there was no transfer to Eskom due to the termination of contract. Now, which transfers are you referring to? I really need to know which transfers are you referring to when you are looking on this particular matter. President Zuma overemphasized that we must intensify our efforts to promote energy efficiency. My concern is that EBSM programs always they express challenges. In the previous financial years, there's been challenges on the very same program. Now, clearly it shows there has been no effort to address these problems, which goes to what the chairperson of the committee said, that you do these things, you don't achieve them, and you proceed with this thing, carrying it by into other quarters and financial years. It's not assisting us. We won't be able to achieve. What is it that you are preoccupied with? If you are unable to deliver on what you are supposed to be delivering on, give me reasons why I would engage minister to say keep these ones are good, because where I'm sitting you are so inefficient. where I'm sitting. Because you have not delivered on your mandate and the objectives of the department, probably I understand them differently. You can as well empower me, because knowledge is power. I'm willing to learn and learn and learn until I die, as the Chinese would say. So, Chairperson, I think that moving forward, as a committee, we need to make our own assessment of the officials of the department and start acting like the committee of on communications on the chair of the SABC board. I am empowered to do that. These officials of the department, I know, I'm sitting with empirical evidence that you are engaging on businesses in this very same department. Evidence is there. That's why you are unable to deliver and achieve what you are supposed to be achieving. Majority of you in senior positions where you are supposed to enforce these things, you are unable to do it because you either elsewhere. You must comprehend so that you are not able to pick up these things and be driven on a situation where our search do our own research. Because the research always comes with outcomes that can be evidence at some point. So I am putting it to you, Minister, that clean up this department before we force you to do that. We can't go on like this. I think it's too much now. We can't. Thank you.
Honourable Focus, looking if your hand is up there, sir. No, it's okay. So, we running a bit out of time. Another 8 days and I'll still come back to you. I just want to see if all members of the committee are speaking. So yeah, you next. Something before we forget. That when we looked at the annual performance plan, there are deadlines up to the end of March 2015. So the last time we met down there, we said, so we must have a special meeting here to look at those deadlines. So the first thing we must do this year is to just ensure that those deadlines are met. Because if we go beyond the end of March with those deadlines that not met, we're perpetuating a culture that we can just get reports with deadlines and then they're not met and this thing can just go on and on. So we must come back to that issue starting this year to say we refuse to receive further reports until you explain why you can't meet these deadlines ending March. Honorable Esther.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Minister. I was speaking last on basically covered. I can just maybe mention one of the two, the percentage on one of the two things that's already been mentioned. The energy policy and planning is 22%, which is huge. Under budget petroleum and petroleum related products, 37%. Energy and 3%, the nuclear 3% as well, which is huge. I spoke to the CFO in Caledon actually about the traditional budget method, which I think do have an influence on this. See, what I also just, I think we need more clear how this is going to be, the understanding is going to be addressed. And what measurements are being taken. And I would strongly suggest that we have also public enterprises here. Their involvement cost this department also a lot of money. I think, I don't know where they're going to get the money from. Thank you.
Yeah.
honourable members, we need to get a small briefing on Matatia, and it will be very brief. Can we have responses? I doubt we'll have enough time for follow-up questions, but can we have responses now to all the questions the honourable members have raised?